afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to the first Packer Transplants Live of the 2019 season. I am Aaron Nagler, and I am joined, as always, by Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are coming to you from the LiveX studio in Midtown Manhattan. We are ready to talk some Packers. What do we have on tap today, Corey?
Today, we'll take a look at all the latest around the Green Bay Packers as they prepare to take on the Oakland Raiders in Canada.
Yatterhey.
In preseason game number 3, but right now it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good, we got
wide receiver depth.
We got the bad, we got
backup quarterbacks.
We got the ugly, we got
the tackling, the horror, the tackling. Corey Banky, how the hell are you?
Woo, Tom Grassi on the chat.
What's up, Grassi Posse Nation in the house? Amazing.
Oh, I'm doing good. Got some people on here. Some people watching.
Thanks to everyone who stuck with us. We are a half hour late.
Yeah.
But for good reason.
But it was worth it. We got a really good interview coming up.
We got some hot content coming forward. Coming at you.
Apparently, Nagler has news on here. I don't know what news.
Yeah, you know, that's just what we do. It's the thing we do on the show.
News.
We start with Packers news. So let's start with the Packers are traveling to Canada to take on the Raiders,
Winnipeg.
Winnipeg, the Packers have arrived. Good stuff. Packers are in the house. Remains to be seen how much the starters will play. Matt LaFleur, the new head coach, saying Aaron Rodgers will be a, quote, game-time decision. I think that decision's been made. I wouldn't expect to
see
a whole
lot
of Aaron Rodgers.
Just don't play him.
Just don't play him.
Let Mike Florio, let Greg Jennings, let all these fools be fools. That's what they're going to do.
That is what they're going to do. I'll be shocked if we see a whole lot, if any, of Aaron Rodgers tomorrow night. Oren Burks doesn't need surgery. Initially looked like he was going to miss the season with a pectoral injury, but he told reporters last week that he is going to rehab it and should be back sooner rather than later. Will apparently not be lost for the season, although I still suspect he'll be placed on injured reserve when they cut down to the 53, thereby enabling them to bring him back later in the season. But it has to happen. The cut has to happen, and then the injury reserve placement has to happen after the 53 gets placed.
Got it. So since we have Top Chat, are we going to Super Chat in between news?
I guess so.
How are we doing this?
I guess we have to.
Is that what we got
to
do here?
Uncultured Barbarian laying down $2 to say, any chance both Lazard and Shepard make the 53? That's
asking for a lot.
Unlikely.
I think that's asking for a lot there.
And thanks for the super chat.
Uncultured Barbarian.
Thank you, sir.
Asking for it. So that's good about Oren Burks. So Jamon Moore in a
pretty bad car accident Friday night. I mean, this is a kid who has not had a good camp, and then he goes out and gets in a bad car accident. The reporting around it sure sounds like, I know it was raining, sounds like he was going awfully fast and lost control and then got hit. Buddy, if I'm struggling to make a football team, which Jamon Moore certainly is, I'm not going out in my Mercedes and spinning around in the rain. I'm sitting home and studying my playbook. And usually I ain't that kind of guy to say, you know, do what you want to do on your own time. But Lord almighty.
Yeah.
That's disconcerting.
I'll be a little honest. It's like when you told me the news, I was like, this is weird. Like Green Bay, not like a huge, I don't know. I just don't.
There's not a ton of like.
It's not a lot going on. I get that.
Not a lot of speed for
like,
it. But
what I don't know.
Maybe it was an emergency.
I hate
maybe
to be judgy in a judgy show.
I don't
want
to be judgy McJudgerson. No.
I mean,
not what I want to do.
This is a judgy type of show.
Nags and Corey, what's up, Goobers? Thanks up. What's up, FTS? Thanks for the super chat. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Okay, can we just talk about something?
I'm waiting to see if a graphic shows up, by the way. I think a graphic's supposed to show up.
Something a little bit more kind of NFL-oriented. It just did.
Oh, sweet.
A little bit more NFL-oriented, but...
Cool.
This NFL adjustment.
Is that the ability
for them...
I'm so good at transitioning.
Coaches now can challenge
everything.
Pass interference.
They can challenge
pass interference.
But they can challenge if your shoes are tied wrong.
It's such a it's like every offseason, we got to go through some adjustment. The competition committee has to make things more convoluted than they ever need to be. So last year it was the, don't breathe on the quarterbacks. And now it's, if you want to challenge a 3-yard completion because they had a rub route, you can, as John Harbaugh did last week in Baltimore. Like, football is such a great game. I just don't understand why the stewards of the game at 345 Park feel the need to mess with it each and every year.
Well,
whether it's celebrations, whether it's quarterback protections, whether it's what's a catch, how do we protect these absurd rules in the name of player safety that don't really keep players any safer.
And
now this, I just let the game be, man. We all know what we're watching. We all know what we signed up for. Everyone on the field knows what they signed up for. Just let us have our game, man.
Okay, there's two reasons that's not going to happen.
I am aware.
And both of them are going to bore the living crap out of everyone
Luke,
who's here.
Luke, thanks for the super chat, buddy.
Oh, Luke, thank you. Commercialism and bureaucracy.
A whole lot of that.
And the corporation that is the NFL.
Well, and 31
Look,
owners and a bunch of other little
if
owners.
You and I, think about this, okay?
Oh,
if
boy.
You and I,
here we go.
And 30 of our closest friends.
Yes. You and I.
Every year, we're getting $180 million to do nothing different than what we did last year.
Right.
We think that we'd just be like, you know
yeah,
what?
That's great.
I'm going to collect my paycheck.
Down.
I'm good. But no, you got to make a new product. You got to make a new SKU. You got to make some innovation in the game. This is innovation in the game. This is innovation in the game to the NFL. They think they're innovating. And they think people complaining are just trolls. It's engagement, Nagler.
You know, they're
it's engagement.
Yeah, they're trying to quote unquote innovate when they're really just disappearing up their ass is what they're doing. I mean, the game is great. The game is great.
You know what?
And they're determined to mess it up.
You want me to really sound stupid, but like I am the okay. So I never thought I would say this, but
oh,
like,
boy.
How many years have I talked about being able to watch old games like on a server?
I know. Yes.
And literally everyone but you just looks at me with a glazed over look. Like
Luke, we'll answer that question later in the show, but not great.
Everyone like looks at me with a glazed over look, but I'm telling you, when you can watch Cecil Isbell, when you can watch like some of these old players playing old football, and you're just sitting there drinking a beer and like watching, dude, that's like that's an enjoyable way to pass some time.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more. Kevin's jumping in with some super chat, helping us pay for the J.K. Scott jersey Corey's always wanted.
Nah, it's never.
Thanks,
happened.
Kevin.
That's never happening.
I love how people have glommed on to you and J.K. Scott. This is perfect.
I just
love it.
I don't understand. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like that little graphic.
Yeah, a little graphic. Finally, Matt LaFleur, your new head coach of the Green Bay Packers. He wants it loud in Lambeau, Corey.
Oh, we have a very special guest that's going to talk about how...
He wants it loud in Lambeau.
I mean, who doesn't want it loud in Lambeau?
All the people who sit down on third down, apparently.
You know what I've told the first time I... the loudest game I ever experienced that was out that where you could hear the game outside of Lambeau.
Tyler wants to know where he can find that hat.
At the pro shop like 8 years ago.
Thanks for the super chat,
This
Tyler.
One's good because you know why? Because the most important thing is the most prominent. I'll just let that
you
sit
keep
there.
Saying that. You said that on the watch party last week, too.
It's still true.
William, thanks for the super chat,
still
buddy.
True, Nagler.
Loudest game you've ever been to?
Was, unfortunately, not the loudest game I've ever been to. The loudest game I've experienced outside of the stadium.
Okay.
Which is a little bit obscure.
No,
was Wisconsin versus LSU at Lambeau three years ago.
Wow.
It was 10 times louder than any game I've currently heard. Now, right. I haven't been outside of the stadium during a playoff game. I prefer to be inside the stadium during a playoff game.
That's bold.
But I will say, just my own ears, so this is not scientific fact, but this is me outside of Lambeau multiple times after games the last 2 years. The Wisconsin game was 10 times louder. 10 times.
No, I have zero.
Like,
doubt.
It was deafening.
I mean, Badgers fans.
Like,
and,
in the house was
LSU
deafening.
LSU fans? Yeah. I have zero doubt.
And it goes to this whole thing where, like, people, it is like an older generations because, you know, younger people are louder. They just are.
William Thompson asking coldest game. Corey was in the house for the NFC
2007
game.
Still the worst game, and in my opinion, still a worse game than the 2014 NFC Championship.
I mean, Coughlin's
the first time,
off.
The first time we ever lost as a team in a playoff game at Lambeau Field. That's why it's the worst.
No. Not the first time.
First time an NFC championship was ever lost.
NFC
at Lambeau.
Championship, yes.
Sorry.
The playoff game was the Falcons
yes, 100%. 100%.
Right.
Yes.
But, you know, so LaFleur is going on this crusade. He won't let it go, which I love, about needing to be Lambeau, needing to be louder.
So he brings in a foghorn.
And the foghorn's terrible. I mean, come on. The foghorn. It sounds like something else. It sounds like another horn.
Like Here's the thing. So shouldn't you experience the place before you change it? Like, I know that sounds kind of simplistic.
Damn. Gloria throwing it down on Coach.
But here's the thing. Coach is right.
He's right.
Coach is totally right.
No, he's 100%
right. You know
right.
He's been told this by people in the building who have said, look, it's been lame around here for the last couple years.
Derek Peters, thank you.
And he is clearly on a mission to get it loud. Not of the game, but on third down in particular.
Yeah.
And that's where the horn comes in.
As he should.
The horn is terrible, though.
Don't get rid of the horn. They got to get rid of the horn.
You know, somebody's got some ideas on that.
Who's that? Our mystery guest? So earlier today, we actually did a very special interview with a very special guest of the show, one of our favorite all-time
friend of
guests
show.
Of the show. Friend of the show. Go ahead, Gaff, and play the video. On the phone with Aaron and I for our inaugural season debut Packer transplants, the one, the only...
The myth. The legend.
Aunt Gert. How are you today, Aunt Gert?
I am just fine. I am perfect. And it's just wonderful that you called me.
Well,
it's time I get back in the system again.
Yeah. Well,
she's like the Matrix.
I was hearing through the grapevine that you had some things to say to Coach.
I have two things to say to Coach LaFleur. Number one, he should read his contract. Because it said he was hired to coach the team. Okay.
Okay.
How is he in breach of his contract okay. there, Aunt Gert?
I know there's going to be a difference of opinion. Many people have told me that the crowd does need some excitement. I said, that may be true, but they don't need to take an idea from a competitor, from the Vikings, and use that silly foghorn.
Very much agreed right there. Very much agreed.
Those are my two concerns. Now, I can see the crowd excitement probably being down. Number one, the age of all those good supporters of the fans who are paying LaFleur's salary, they have a right to sit in the stadium and be entertained if they want to watch a game in peace and quiet.
That's true.
Wait, peace and quiet, Aunt Gert. I've been around you during Packers games. You're not quiet. You don't sit in peace. You let it be known what you're feeling and the excitement that you feel when the Packers score a touchdown. Surely, it's okay
right.
for people to get up and cheer every once in a while.
That's right. I don't say they should sit there the whole game, but
right.
I mean, come on. They came to a game. They came to the stadium to see a game. Not to be rioting and to be standing and shouting and showing off. I mean, I'm not going to pay that price for a ticket to have to stand up and jump and squeal and holler. You know, if I want to sit for half or for one quarter, fine. But remember, they need those supporters as well as they do the excited ones.
That's true.
Also, we have to think of a way, that's true, to get people going again. Many people are very complacent. I know that. But what is the scheme for that? I don't know. A winning team would help. Not necessarily always winning. I'm not saying you have to win. But a good game would help. If you see that the heart of the players is in the game and not the money that they're getting. This is my contention. I guess I'm too old. I didn't earn those big bucks, you know. Okay, that's... That's about it for me, from Aunt Gert. Aunt Gert doesn't have many words.
Wait. We got to know, you know, we're getting ready for the season. How do you feel about Aaron Rodgers, and how do you feel about the team right now?
Aaron Rodgers, I feel badly that he has a tight back, the tightness in his back. I think there again that the administration has made a mistake by not bringing in a backup quarterback that's a little better than Kaiser and Boyle. I mean, they paid the price for many other big players on defense and so forth, and that's fine. But why didn't they bring in another quarterback? Look how many years Rodgers had to sit there before Favre retired, right?
Yep.
I can't, you know, I don't even know why we have a show. We should have the Aunt Gert podcast. We need to start that because that is some insightful, searing analysis that is spot on right there, Aunt Gert.
So wait. Yeah. What's your prediction for the season?
I hate to say, but it's still pregame. But from what I've seen in the pregame, I will say 9-7.
Well, that's pretty good. Okay. That's a 3-game improvement. I like it.
So that they could improve upon that if you see better things from them.
Oh yes. I expect improvement from some of the other players, but now from watching the preseasons, there are several players that I could spot, and I want to watch them for a game or two before I think, oh, that was a very good investment, you know?
Yeah.
I think there are some players in there that are going to shake the team and do very well, very, very well.
Well,
I hope they are.
What player most excites you right now in the preseason, just in preseason?
What one? I don't know if there's one. Kumaro, I like him.
Oh, Kumaro, yeah. He's fun.
Oh, Kumaro, yeah. He's pronounce fun. It differently. I have the German pronunciation. Sorry about that. And let's see. There was one that showed up in the last game. Oh, I think it was the last game.
Right.
Lazard, Lazard.
Yeah.
He amazed me with his play.
He's had a really good camp. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why there are a couple others that I'm just going to have to watch, and I don't want to just mention them just yet because I'm not so sure where they're going, you know.
So you got to earn it. You got to earn it with Aunt Gert, definitely. Yeah.
It's a hard job to coach a group of players like that, I would think. I wouldn't want that job. I wouldn't want that coaching job. I mean, I don't know. At one time, I think people were paid to perform, and I'm not so sure that the entire team is out there that they're playing their hearts out. Maybe they are. How do I know? But that's my guess from what I'm watching here. You know. So,
I love it.
Anyway,
I love it.
Well, Anchor.
What else? What else would you like to know?
Go ahead.
I just want to say hello to my. All my fans out there, all the cheeseheads out there, and I hope we have a good year. I hope we have a very, very good year. I think we will. I think it's going to shape up a little bit. Don't you?
Yeah, I hope you're right, and I'm excited to see you next week, and I really appreciate you coming on the show and waiting around. I know we had some issues, but the great Aunt Gert.
Thank you, Aunt Gert.
Thank you. Thank you for calling me. Okay.
Okay.
We'll talk again after a couple more games. And
absolutely.
Then we can really have this all hashed out. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
Anchor scouting report.
Okay.
Thank you, Anchor.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
There you go.
Aunt Gert throwing dimes, man.
Yep.
90 what? How old is she
96.
Now? 96 years. 96 years old. And she's out here talking about Alan Lazard having a strong camp. I mean,
yep.
And talking about the backup quarterback spot being suspect.
Well, the funny thing is she called me on Saturday and she was like, I need to talk to you about some issues that I have with coach right now. And I was like, dude, tell me. And we were on the phone for like an hour. It was hilarious. And I was like, I got to get you on the show. You got to have me on her. I don't know what happens. It's like years go by and then we have her on the show. This is like only her fourth appearance, I think.
My favorite part of that entire clip is her saying, I want to say hi to all my fans.
I want to say hi to all my fans. Oh, yeah.
And she does. Like,
she does
we still get. Remember, we had
people
her
ask me all the time.
The first
like,
time.
Oh, is your Aunt Gert?
Is Aunt Gert coming on?
Yeah.
All the time. Love Aunt Gert. Love Aunt Gert. You know what else I love?
What's that?
Offensive football.
Ooh.
Let's see what the Packers have in store this year on the offensive side of the ball.
We play on offense?
A good buddy of mine, Mr. Ben Fennell over there at The Athletic, put together a lovely demonstration. Gaff, you can roll this clip now of what the Packers could potentially be doing on the offensive side of the ball when LaFleur talks about plays run out of the same formation that look the same but are different. Now look at these first two runs. Tight end comes across the formation, blocks the end, really well blocked up on the front side, really good gain. That's the first play. Now, here's the other next play. Same personnel. Formation is flipped, but basically the same. Tight end, same motion. Split zone run. Here comes the tight end across the formation, again, blocking the end. Blocked well on the front side, decent gain. Now here's the third and final play. Same personnel, formation again flipped back around. But now watch the tight end. Comes across the formation on what looks like a split zone run. But now he's pass blocking. He's not there to cut the dude. The guy was ready to get cut, but he's not cut. Quarterback has plenty of time, hits the in-cutting route. Big gain, first down, Packers. That's a perfect example of what LaFleur is talking about when he says the illusion of complexity. When there's all this stuff going on, and you think, oh, just when you think the sequence is played out and you're going to completely shut down what it is they're trying to do on offense, no, sir. We're going to come back and we're going to hit you with something else. And I love that. I thought Ben did a great job kind of highlighting what LaFleur wants to do in a very simplistic way, but it's not about using a ton of different formations. It's about what kind of action you can get off of plays that all look the same, but can have just a slight little tweak to give you a big explosive gain. So I'm down with that.
That sounds like it's right in Aaron Rodgers' wheelhouse, too.
I'm all about
that. He loves those subtleties.
He does. He does
little subtle things he can change.
Absolutely. Oh, well, and he's going to be throwing to a bunch of wide receivers that, I mean, I knew there would be competition at wide receiver, but I thought the hierarchy was going to be pretty set. You know, I thought it would be obviously Davante Adams. Then you would have most likely MVS as the number two on the perimeter outside.
Or Allison.
And then I thought Allison would probably work most in the slot. And that has kind of stayed true.
Yeah.
But man, I think EQ's had a really good camp. And you definitely didn't see this coming from Shepard.
No.
You definitely didn't see it coming from Lazard.
No.
Jamon Moore has not taken the step
coming, though. Come on.
Yep.
You kind of saw that coming.
You were hoping for the step.
You were hoping for something better, but you kind of.
And then Kumerow has picked up right where he left off last summer, prior to the injury. So you look at all that competition, I thought there was no chance they would keep six and or seven wide receivers. Now I think there's a decent chance. Now, we still got two preseason games to play. This could all change tomorrow night in an instant. But I'm kind of excited. Rodgers talked about it at his locker this week about the lack of a resume for a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for these guys to build their resumes in Green Bay. I'm down for it.
I'm excited. I mean,
and we didn't even mention Trevor Davis, who's had a really good camp.
I feel like
he'd get injured, but he's back and making plays again.
Yeah.
I'm down. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Banky's not excited because it's preseason.
Okay, here's the thing, okay?
Nah.
So here's what happens.
Oh, boy.
You have the draft. We all get excited, and we're like, oh, yay!
Mm-hmm.
And you have OTAs and minicamp, right?
Yeah,
you got
yeah.
the period where you're like, oh, yeah, they're practicing, right? Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Then we have this beautiful, gorgeous shareholder meeting into training camp, beautiful time in Wisconsin, and we have this amazing time, and it's beautiful, and it's Wisconsin, and we're like, yes, football's here, but it's not really here. Every year we have to do this. We get in this moment and we get this reset. And we're like, you know what? We're watching football, but we're not really watching football. And we have no idea. Like, I feel like the reason that all of these, what I'm going to call the beat writer bubble right now.
Oh, boy.
So the beat writer bubble, the GBWB, which is the Green Bay beat writer bubble.
What are you even talking about?
They actually move, and I feel like they're in a negative space right now, right? I feel like, you know, there's like all this negative talk about the Packers because people don't know what to write because there's literally nothing to write right now.
Right. They're just practicing.
Like, yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited for them to play the Bears, and it feels like it's so far away, and it's only 16 days away,
16 days away. Hey, I want to give a shout-out to Mike Witt,
wow.
who did give us a super chat while Aaron Gert was on the phone. He did ask, was Vic Ketchman or Bob McGinn the special surprise guest?
No.
No, it was Aaron Gert. However, we'll work on getting Ketchman and McGinn on for the same show. And also a shout out to Uncultured Barbarian asking Nagler, are you going to challenge Aunt Gert and Madden? Grassi wants to know. Well, Grassi would send Aunt Gert to play me in Madden, knowing what an ass whooping he took in this very studio when he dared to show his face here at Cheesehead TV.
I hope he's been practicing on the new Madden.
I mean, the new Madden's his only hope because that new offense is, it's taking some getting used to. Juju says EQ better make the team. EQ's making the team. Is it time to draft an heir apparent at quarterback?
Yeah, it's been time for like 2 years.
Oh, boy.
It's not about an heir apparent.
Oh,
it's about drafting someone who actually has value.
Yeah.
Like, when's the last time we actually had an NFL backup, like a true NFL backup?
Probably when Aaron Rodgers was back.
Probably.
Well, that's what, you know. Yeah.
No, I get it.
It's hard for me to get all indignant about it.
I get it.
I've punted on the backup quarterback spot. I've come to grips with the fact that if Aaron goes down, it's over. Yet another season of it.
That's the bet.
The time to do it was back in March and April. They didn't do it. So we're going to lie in that bed. And that's, you know, that's Brian's prerogative. That's what he wants to do. Hey, it's his team.
I mean, the thing I've always kind of said is if it's part of your strategy, then it's never like, oh my God, did they draft a quarterback?
Right.
What does Aaron think? If we were always drafting quarterbacks, like when Holmgren was around, what's the damn difference? Just draft quarterback. It's a market. You're trying to draft the best player available, and we never do. Not when it comes to quarterback. There's been plenty of times quarterback's been the best available, and we probably didn't draft the quarterback.
No. That's very true.
You know, I guess to me the bigger issue is not drafting a quarterback. Yes, we need a backup quarterback, but to me the bigger issue is, you know, what does that say about Gutekunst? That what does it say about him?
Well, it doesn't.
What does it say? I don't know what it says, but what does it say about him?
What does it say?
It could be a bad thing that it says.
No. What Gutekunst thought was he liked Kizer coming out, and they didn't draft him, but then he was available via trade, so he shipped off Randall, and he got Kizer. And obviously, Kizer didn't look very good. Now he's on another offense, another coach. And Brian obviously wanted to allocate the money on the defensive side of the ball, bring in the guys that he did, including Billy Turner, who he paid a good, decent amount of money for because he knows he's probably his solution at right tackle once Bulaga gets hurt, because he always does, and or moves on after this year when his contract is up. So he wanted to spend that money there rather than give up on Kizer, a guy who he gave up a pretty talented player for in Demarius Randall.
Yep.
That's his, you know, as a GM.
A talented, whiny player,
probably. But at this point, like, you don't want to be like whack-a-mole, like every offseason trying to fix problem after problem after problem. It's like, okay, I'm gonna trade for this kid that I liked coming out, and I'm gonna let it develop and happen. And in a way, I'm appreciative of that approach because it's the exact opposite of what I was just talking about with the NFL, where every offseason it's like, oh my God, we've got this problem, we have to fix it, and then you have all these unintended consequences, right? So Brian is being very patient with Kizer. I think if we got Brian on Truth Serum, he knows Kizer's not the answer.
He just doesn't have an answer.
But he's not going to go.
There's no solution. So no. Why?
He's not
going
to go after a problem
trying
to
with
fix
no
it.
Solution.
Instead, he's going to try and make a. He's going to try and build a better team around Aaron Rodgers, take pressure off Aaron Rodgers, which is where this entire offseason, what the whole kind of driving the boat, so to speak, was about, taking pressure off Aaron. Better running game system predicated on the zone scheme that gets the ball out of his hands quickly, you know, better defense, a defense that gets him the ball more, etc. All of that to take pressure off of your quarterback who has had to be Superman for many years.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I can't begrudge him for that. I do wish they would have explored the possibility of a veteran backup at some point in free agency.
Yeah, but and you take in a new coach and
I feel you. But, you know, there is something to be excited about on the offensive side of the ball that isn't Aaron Rodgers, and that's Big Bob Tonyan.
I was about to say that.
It is Big Bob
Tonyan
season, baby.
I didn't even read your thing, and when you said
Big Bob Tonyan season!
When you said that, I literally was like, oh, Bob Tonyan.
You knew what it was.
That's so funny.
You knew what it was.
I actually didn't read
you know
that
what?
Far ahead.
And I believe
I was
you,
like,
you know
Bob Tonyan?
Because I knew you don't. You never read the script. So, of course, you didn't
no.
know. You had no clue what I was about to say.
I was like, the biggest thing in the offense, and I was like, tight ends. And then I was like, Bob Tonyan. I'm very excited.
I did have one of his
him.
Friends on Twitter chide me for calling him Big Bob Tonyan. Apparently, only his friend group is allowed to call him that. But
too late.
It's too late, man. I've adopted it. I'm running with it. Big Bob Tonyan is the real deal. I'm here to tell you. I know Jimmy's the starter, et cetera, although now he's dealing with a finger injury, so who knows. But I'm really excited about this kid. I know there were some questions about whether he could hold up in line as a blocker. And from everything I saw in Green Bay, this kid
is developing
the way you want him to. Now, has he arrived? No, of course not. But I'm telling you, I think he's going to be a legit contributor. I'm not saying he's going to be a big star or anything, but he's going to be a legit contributor on the offensive side of the ball. And that's something that I think we're most likely hoping for coming into this season. But, you know, I think the signs are good that he's on his way to becoming just that.
Yep. I would agree with that.
Flipping it over to the defensive side of the ball, however.
I feel like the defensive side this season so far is the most exciting.
Well, it has
been. For the most exciting.
No question about it.
Right now.
No question about it.
Without Rodgers bringing the sparks, it's really hard.
Except for one Rashawn Gary.
Mm.
Drafted 12th overall, first pick. You remember here on draft night, Andy Herman had some misgivings.
He wasn't feeling it.
And so far, Andy Herman's early reaction to that pick, not looking too terrible. Considering what Rashawn Gary has done, or should I say not done,
it's a little,
on the football
field.
It's
a touch early.
It's very early. And the kid is learning a whole new position. He's doing, being asked to do things he never had to do in college.
If he can do anything by week 7, win.
Well, that's the thing. Like, PFF did this whole comparison between him and Chase Winovich, who has like been the darling of preseason because he's destroying third string tackles. Fine. I'm very excited for the New England Patriots that they got that guy in the third round. He was a teammate of Gary's, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I understand that. But I think once Gary is allowed to do what they really want him to drill down and focus on, getting after the quarterback, coming off stunts and coming up the A-gap and stops, doesn't have to do as much. He's really allowed to focus and come in off the bench on like third down, or at least early in the season. I still believe in the kid. I'm very excited.
Yeah, it's too early not to, though.
But, you know, you do look at 2 games and the guy has yet to make a tackle.
Two preseason practices.
That's
2 practices.
Disconcerting, at least a little.
2.5 practices, Nagler.
Just a little bit.
Nagler. See, here's the problem.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Okay.
Here we go.
The GBWB has got to make content. So we got to
make content. Oh, we're
going
to blame the content machine?
We got to make content. So we got to churn out the
content. Let me tell you something.
Because everybody's like, oh, I didn't want to take Gary in the first round. I wanted to take him in the next round.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's some of that. Definitely.
Guess what?
But you know what?
3 years. What do we say? What do we always say?
Always
3 years.
But I will tell.
Literally, there have been players who have played for 2 years and you think they're trash. And then the third year, all of a sudden, holy crap, where did that player come from?
I hear you. I'm just saying. You know, the content machine did not make Gary unable to beat a backup tackle one-on-one. I'm just saying, the content machine did not make that happen. That's on tape. We saw that happen on the football field. That's all I'm saying.
I think the Packers should hire me. And I'm gonna write about the content machine. So I'm gonna be like, Nagler, that third sentence wasn't very good in that blog post. I think you failed a couple times there.
Yeah, that's good.
We need the PFF for beat writers.
Ooh,
we need the,
I like
the
that.
Beat, we need to make subject. We need to make objective numbers and analytics.
We have rates
for beat writers.
We have grades
based on
after every article.
Yeah, exactly.
The Cheesehead TV grading.
Yep.
I like that. That's a really good idea.
And then
idea.
You have a rating.
You're just throwing out million-dollar ideas here live
like,
on the...
And then, like, oh, Rob Domofsky, you're maybe number one. Wes Hodkiewicz. Oh, you
got an 89.7.
Jason Wilde.
Jason Wilde got a 75.3.
Okay. Yeah. And so then it goes up and down based on, like, you know...
I like it.
The bubble.
Does Fackrell make the team? I think so, simply because they'll use him rotationally, and he helps a lot on special teams.
Yeah, why not?
He could get cut. It's a possibility. He
hasn't
had a great camp.
If he gets cut, is anybody picking him up off the practice squad?
Well, I don't think he has any practice squad available.
Oh, he can't. Right.
But there's a chance he could get cut. I would be surprised, though. I would be surprised. He had a poor camp last year and then led the team in sacks. So, you know,
and then he
the
had
fact
that,
he hasn't had a great
and
camp
he had that one
much.
Game. That one game.
He had a couple games. He had the Buffalo game. He had the Seattle game.
He had the one where he had like 6, though, right?
He had three. He had three against Buffalo and 3 against Seattle. And he had a really good sack in L.A. against Whitworth. But for the most part, he was very streaky. There's no doubt.
Yeah, he was streaky.
Very streaky. But you know who wasn't streaky? You know who's brought it up a notch? Is developing in his second camp, and I'm so excited about? Tony Brown. This is my guy. I love this kid. I love this kid. I liked him last year. People got on him because of the early penalties, the boneheaded penalty that Mike Pettine actually referenced last week when he was at the podium. But Tony Brown, because of the injury to Kevin King, is getting a ton of playing time with the ones on the perimeter, and he's bringing it. Aaron Rodgers says he's the most talkative guy out there. My favorite quote at camp, Aaron Rodgers saying, you like completing a pass against Tony Brown because then he shuts up for a minute. Like, I love it.
That's hilarious.
That's the competition. But then Rodgers did go on to say, first one in, last one out. Every night when Rodgers is leaving, Tony Brown is there, either working out, looking at tape, blah, blah, blah. And that's what I talked about. When I do Packers Daily, we do this show, everyone always wants to know, like, can this guy take the jump? And look, everybody in the NFL has some level of talent or they wouldn't be there. They're the 1% of the 1%. Now, you know, it's all a question, not all a question, but a lot of it is a question of what are you going to do with it?
Yeah.
There are kids who get there and badly got a ton of talent and they know they're probably more physically gifted than a lot of the other guys and they can work with that. But if you are there day in and day out putting in the work, those are the kind of guys that make the big jump from year one to year two. They're the ones that you see and you're like, oh, wow, he's kind of coming on. He's really developing. And it's down, and I say it all the time, can he make the jump? Yes, it is down to him. And so far, it is still very early, but so far, the early returns on Tony Brown are very, very good.
You have a lot of people making the team. You know they can only choose like 53, right?
Yeah, I'm very aware.
When does that happen?
The Saturday after the last preseason game, which is
like 12 days.
So yeah, around there, roughly.
There's going to be a lot of, I think this year we're going to be surprised by a lot of guys that get cut.
I don't know about surprised. I think there will be some, like Lazard, like people love him and I'm thrilled. I think he's having a good camp, but I don't think he's going to make it. I just don't think the numbers are there. I don't think he contributes enough on special teams to warrant inclusion on the 53. That doesn't mean he's not a good player.
What about Kumerow now?
Oh, Kumerow's in. I was hesitant until
what
I saw
him.
What
were you hesitant about?
Because I didn't know how much he was running on special teams. But once I saw him in a couple first-team special teams units, it's like, okay, he's in. Because if you're running you on first-team special teams, like, day in and day out, that means you're a core guy.
Yeah.
They're not going to cut that guy.
Yeah.
If he's doing all the things Kumerow is doing from scrimmage.
Right, they're going to put another guy in. Yeah.
They'll run somebody else in.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? But he's there day in and day out.
He's
on
not
coverage.
A specialist, yeah.
No, but on top of all that, he's also producing. Like every time Rodgers throws the ball, or any of the backups throw him the ball, he's catching it.
Yeah.
He's making plays.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, he's in. I don't think there's any question at this point. There's no question also about Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah.
You talk about off-season additions.
I'm excited about that.
Woo!
You want to talk about getting excited? That's something that's exciting.
The truth. The truth. This guy is ready to wreck things. And I'm excited for his marriage with Mike Pettine. Mike Pettine using him as kind of a chess piece, inside, outside, dropping, coming, where's he coming or going, what's he doing? I am all in.
We will be having a watch party tomorrow night.
Watch party tomorrow night, people. Get ready for it.
People are asking.
You know what else? You know what else people are asking about?
What's that?
The tackling, Corey.
Oh, my goodness.
My God. The tackling.
Wow.
I can't handle the tackling, Corey, or the lack thereof. You know, can I just say, I asked Matt LaFleur the first couple practices. You can go back and look at the tape. It's there at Packers.com. I noticed you haven't been doing a whole lot of tackling drills. In fact, I saw zero tackling drills.
And what'd he say?
Oh, yeah, you know, well, you know, we drill it in the drills. Like, the coaches are instructing tackling within the drill, or some nonsense.
Okay.
And then lo and behold, first two preseason games, they can't tackle anything, much less an NFL player.
So do they have tackling drills now?
Oh, yeah. They brought out the donuts.
But I thought they had the donuts like third donuts. Or fourth practice.
They didn't bring out a tackling donut until after the first preseason game.
Oh, for reals?
For real.
You mean after family night?
Maybe
yeah,
family
you were
night.
You were posting. I remember the
I don't
donut
video.
I feel like I came back from Virginia and you were posting the donut videos.
Maybe
I remember your first donut video because you had one. And
we all remember our first donut video. All I know is that initially they were doing no tackling drills, none, zero, zero.
Okay, we've never been
and
able to
and it shows
tackle.
Up
like in 20
I
years.
Know. That's the perfect point. We've never been good tackle. No kidding. So here's a new coach, the chance to wipe the slate clean, the chance to reset as an organization. We are going to fucking tackle. But no.
No.
No. We're still going to throw ourselves at the ball carrier's feet. We're going to not wrap up. We're going to give him the old shoulder try. Oh, didn't knock him down. Oh, well. That's Green Bay Packers tackling
since
the new millennium.
Since like 1995, bro.
Overshadow Sean, thanks for the super chat, buddy.
Thank you.
That is that means a lot.
Dude, we haven't been able to tackle anyone since like 1992 or something.
Sorry.
What are you writing?
I'm getting all sorts of alerts and inputs, all sorts of stimuli.
You know we're live right now.
That's what I literally just told someone.
Don't they get notifications?
I would hope so. I'm going to tell them to download the YouTube app.
All right, are we ready for this, Gaff?
Gaff, are you ready?
Do it.
He's not ready.
This week in the Packer Blogosphere.
That's right! It's the return of this week in the Packers Blogosphere. The return of that venerable series. And thank you to Marshall Brown for the intelligent question inserted here. What are you chatting?
Yeah.
Thanks, Marshall.
Thank you.
The Blogosphere. It's been a while, Corey.
The Blogosphere.
It's been a while. It's been some time. You and I have been chatting. We were in Green Bay for an extended period
of time. Almost
a month. Jim. Speaking of churning out content, thanks for the daily dose from your Houston contingent. Jim, thanks for the support.
Thank you.
Thanks for supporting Cheesehead TV and for consuming the content. Thanks very much. You guys are the reason we do it. But like I said, we...
3 weeks in Green Bay.
3 weeks writers. In Green Bay. And we had some beat writers over.
Yep.
For some cocktails.
Yep.
And discussion. And I was going to go into the Packers 100 thing, but it's like...
No, it's fine.
It's been done.
If you're a Patreon member, you know how we feel about it.
A Patreon member has got a special podcast about it.
Like, it was nice. It was fun. It was fun to see those guys.
It was great to see those guys.
There's two pieces of the Packers beat, okay? There's the people that are called the anchor beat writers. They're the guys...
Packers. Not Packers, but Green Bay through and through.
Green Bay, yeah. It's like they're not probably going anywhere. They're going to just stay with the Packers. And that's great. They've been great beat writers, and they're in that core contingent. Right. And then you basically have everybody else.
Who's kind of transient.
Transient, like, new local person is going to be here 2 years, and they're going to go to North
Dakota.
It's
a stepping stone to whatever else.
Which is fine. I'm not knocking it. Saying this is the reality. Shade. These are reality tracks. And then you have the third, which is national people, like your Peter Kings, Barstool freaking van guys. You know, you got those guys who just are like, I'm a Bears fan, but I guess I'm going to interview.
Do we want to go there now?
Hey, if I want to get an interview with a Green Bay Packers coach, even though I'm a Bears fan, easy.
Hold on. Wait a second. Gaff, I'm going to have to address camera here for a second. Hi, coach. You don't really know me. You saw me at practice every fucking day for 3 weeks. I co-founded a Packers website with my good friend, Corey Behnke. We are lifelong fans of the Green Bay Packers. Lifelong. My earliest memory in my life is my grandfather taking me to Lambeau when I was 3 years old. I requested a sit down. I requested a one-on-one. Was told you were too busy. However, you sat down with the most famous Bears fan on the internet, gladly and of your own free will. Weren't too busy for him. It's funny how that works, coach. You're suspect. You're starting off on the wrong foot. That's all I can say.
And Ankert's not happy either.
And Ankert is not here. Ankert ain't having it. That's all I know.
Packers news, Ryan.
So the Packers beat needs to evolve.
Yep.
I think there's a lot of, this is how it was done under, when Holmgren and Wolf were here, this is how it was. We've seen a lot of that with the transition to Gutekunst and LaFleur, right? Yep. And I think even like this conversation around who's going to play in the preseason, will Rodgers even play in the preseason, et cetera, I think it's kind of laid bare some of the, can we look around the rest of the league for a second?
Yeah.
And see how, you know, other teams are handling
instead
things.
Instead of just like, that's how instead they
this
did
is
it.
always the quarterback has always played three games and blah blah blah. And
yep.
You know, Favre played all this time and like, yeah, in 20 years ago,
yeah,
like the Rams don't play anybody. Most teams now don't play anybody. Like, I just think there just needs to be a little widening of the gaze. And I will say though, but with that said, I feel like
that's hard in Green Bay. When I'm there, I get that.
It is.
It is hard.
Yes.
It's hard for them.
Well, you get in that.
Not to excuse it, but if you're there, it really gets easy.
I feel that. I will say, though. So, to that point, the need to try new things, I got to give it up for the Packers news, for Gannett. This Ryan Wood group text feature that they've just launched. I think they launched last week.
It sounds like a bug, not a feature.
Actually, it
sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, well, for Ryan.
It sounds like my worst nightmare.
For Ryan, yeah.
Like, if I started a group chat with a bunch of Packers fans I never met before in person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be your hell. That would be your personal hell.
Oh, it would be.
But, you know, Ryan is open to doing this.
Cool.
And I'll say, when I was on the beat, I had Wes Hodkowitz's old phone. So I had his old phone number. So lots of people had it. And I would get calls and texts all the time. So it's good. It's cool that Ryan is like open to it. And I love that they're doing this. And you can literally, you know, text back and forth with Ryan about whatever you want, Packers wise. I think that's pretty cool. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a fun idea. Something different. I think that's cool. Talk about improved and cool ideas. Packers social media. I just want to give a shout out to the Packers social team.
Yep.
They have really upped the game.
It definitely is.
I'll tell you, we have here on this show certainly besmirched the name of Packers Social over the years.
Really?
Last year, I remember retweeting, I think the Complex had the rating of the 32 Twitter feeds for the NFL teams.
They were low.
The Packers were like number 30.
Yeah, they were low.
And I said, all I did was retweet it and say, the Packers come in right about where you expect. And some people in 1265 didn't appreciate it. But, you know, I said to them, well, then up your game.
Yeah.
If you want to get better, you've got to make it better.
And then they did.
And they have. I will say, some of the content that they are producing is pretty baller. Some of the video stuff, obviously, you're always going to have the three guys, you know, all that stuff around Larry McCarron is always awesome. But they've really kind of upped their game. And I got to give them props. Just want to give them a shout out. And then, speaking of shout-outs, Mr. Rob Domofsky.
Wow.
Mr. Rob Domofsky.
Putting a...
Mark Murphy's on the hot seat.
Putting a marker in the sand.
I mean, the ESPN had their initial...
But isn't he like number 13th on the hot seat?
Well, no, that's their power rankings. They're 13 on the power rankings.
Oh, Packers are 13, but Mark Murphy's on the hot seat.
Well, because, and to Rob's point, his point here was, you know, they missed the playoffs twice. Now they've got Murphy's hand-picked GM and coach. Like, back in the day, it was the GM who was picking the coach. Now it's Mark Murphy picking both the GM and the coach. So now there are no excuses. And I know there should probably be at least a one-year grace period, but you know there won't be, because there were 2 years of playoffs missed while Murphy, from the outside looking in, it sure looked like he was fiddling while Rome burned.
I don't have a one-year grace period.
Exactly my point. I know you don't.
I don't have it.
I know. I mean, I'm like, you know, I sat through
decades of utility. I did too.
Another year is fine.
I did too, but I don't have it. I don't want it. I don't have it. I don't need it.
I hear you. I hear you.
This is the time. And also, like, I know you're like, oh, what? What head coach? This is how Nagler brings me down.
Oh, God.
He's like, oh, well, what head coach brought their team? I don't have a good Nagler imitation. Oh, what head coach brought their team winning to the playoffs in their first year?
And not one of them in 100 years of Green Bay Packers history.
Okay, but a coach in the NFL has.
Oh, sure, yeah. Sean McVay did.
Okay, so there we go.
100 years of Packers history, though, working against LaFleur.
Okay, well, year 101 is going to be different.
You are Marty McFly right now. Oh, yeah? Well, history is going to change.
I'm going to go back in time.
Hey, can we talk about something here that I tweeted out this morning from our good friend, the Packer Ranter?
Oh, nobody wants this in their life.
I don't care.
No one.
I want to say, because there are some guys who are questioning my validity here, my resolve. I tell you, there's Josh at 97.3 The Game said I would never do this. I am all in on this. Gaff, if you could throw up this.
Zero people.
I will wear this. No. Send it to me.
Please.
I'll wear it.
You're not allowed to wear this.
I love
it.
I love this so much. I want to wear this. I want to wear this Sundays while watching the game.
Okay. Whatever you do, like put tights or something on.
Yeah, I'll put some leggings on. Come on. I mean, I don't know. I got to show off the games, though.
Mike Witt with the super chat.
Mike, how does Savage look? All right. Savage has looked good, not great. But it is early, and he missed a ton of time. So I think you saw the potential in some of the coverages that he had in that Ravens game. He's looked really solid in camp, if not spectacular. But again, he has been eased into things. He's gone very, very slowly in practice. That's how Savage has looked. Anything else, Corey? You got anything else before we wrap up?
Ready for watch party? Join us tomorrow watch for watch party.
Oh, and hey, if you do like what we do, if you enjoy our content, if you know, we appreciate all the super chat. Obviously, you guys are the best. But if you want to support everything we do, not just these videos, but all the content, the writing, the podcasts, everything, please consider contributing to our Patreon, patreon.com/cheeseheadtv. All we ask is $5 a month. $5 a month.
But you can become executive producer of this show.
You can become executive producer. You can become a producer.
How much
there
is
are many levels.
Producer?
I don't know. I'd
it's
have
like
to look.
500, I think.
No. Oh, I don't know. The highest one, I think, is.
Yeah, I think
let
that's,
me,
maybe
you know
that's
let me read
producer.
It off.
Maybe
we're here. This the
is
hell.
Good.
We've been late anyway.
This is
so
hilarious. It's really
the tiers
good.
Are. Yeah. $5 a month. Supports everything we do.
And you get in
and
the credits.
And you get in the credits of this show.
Which?
The Transplants Associate Producer, of which we have two. We have two associate
producers.
Wow,
we have two associate producers.
You are listed as an associate producer in the credits of each episode of Packer Transplants. That's $25 a month.
Wow.
An associate producer. Then you have an executive
producer. That's my speed right
that's
there.
That's the next level. Executive producer is $50 a month. You are listed as an executive producer in the credits. Each member of the executive producer tier will also receive a signed postcard from Corey and myself.
Oh, really?
We don't have one yet, though. Okay. So we haven't had to do it.
Cool.
I would have bugged you about it, but we have no one signed up.
Cool, man.
And then there is the creme de la creme.
Wow.
The pinnacle.
Producer of Packer
the
Transplants.
The pinnacle of the Patreon membership is a transplants producer. $500 or more. If you want to give more, we're not going to turn it down. $500 or more per month. You're listed as producer of Packer Transplants. You will receive a personalized thank you video from Corey and myself, cool. as well as a signed postcard. Producers are also invited to watch a live broadcast in the studio.
Wait,
if
what?
If they are in the New York City area.
Get out of here.
$500 or more a month. We'll welcome you into our home.
They get to be on Watch Party?
Whatever they want. I don't if they can watch no,
they
Transplants,
just,
they can watch just, Watch Party. I don't
watch,
care what they do.
They just get to
they
watch.
They can hang out. They can watch. They can participate. We'll see what's up. Maybe they don't want to. Maybe they just want to hang out and watch. I'm fine. Hmm. For $500 a month, you can come chill. At least once. Oh, my God. All right. That'll do it for this inaugural journey of 2019 on Packer Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who stopped by to chat some Packers with us. That's why Corey and I are here. We are and will always be devoted Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
Hey, Winston, I'm sorry. Where is the Winston that has given us illumination and information at past press conferences? Did we do something that you're down on us again? But this was what, last week, it didn't go very well, and we want to talk about your guys, and I'm not quite sure what you want from us to make that happen.
I can't help you.